Jeremiah 3 and verse number 15, just to start with, and I'm going to share a few verses, going to cover one of our flyers this evening. This one was written in 2005, and we've just recently updated it, and I want to tell you why I wrote this one, so we can be familiarize ourselves with this literature that our church has, and maybe know to distribute it and help people in the decisions of their life, because this certainly is a very, very big decision on whether a person should go to college or not. Every week on Wednesday nights, the subject's going to kind of change radically depending on which flyer I choose to cover. But you should have a flyer that looks like this. And it says, "Can college wait?" with a question mark after it. This is not something I'm going to be dogmatic about. It's just a question I'm going to pose to you and maybe anyone else, whoever listens to this or reads this. Can college wait? And as I deal with this subject here, no matter how well I word what I want to say tonight, there are going to be some people who think that I'm against education for some reason. I am not against education. That's what I do for a living. Look at Jeremiah 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, we notice here the office of a pastor, and this is the first time the word pastor is ever used in the Bible, that is in a positive way. It says this, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart," and what are they supposed to do? "Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Or a synonym today would be, "I will give you pastors according to my heart, I will educate you." All right, educate you. That's what I do. I'm not against education. I'm for education. I spend my whole life trying to educate people. Or as the Bible words are, to feed them with knowledge, which is facts, and understanding, that is how to use the facts in their own personal life. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, and verse 9, it says this, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." And it says, if a preacher is wise, he taught the people knowledge. And so, I am not against education. And I know that no matter how much I preface this, somebody will get a hold of this message or flyer and think I am. I'm 100% for education. Again, that's what I do. That is my calling, to educate people, and I spend my whole life doing it. Yet, education today in America has become a sacred cow. It is our savior. If you look to almost any realm, government or whatever, and ask people what can save our country, they usually say education. Education is our savior, and it isn't. We probably have more educational institutions in our country than ever before, and I just personally think our culture is in the worst shape it's ever been in. We're in the worst shape we've ever been in socially, and we're really not that smart. Grades have gone down quite a bit, and comprehension. They say that a college education today, 4 years of it, is equal to a high school diploma years ago. It's not our savior. It is our golden calf at which we worship. And as I talk about this subject, can college wait, I almost feel a little bit like Gideon there in Judges chapter 6 when God said, "Destroy this altar of Baal, and build an altar unto me." And he was all by himself. And the Lord said, you're going to fight the Midianites and get the victory by one man. So I feel like one voice against just literally millions out there. I've even caught some flack from pastors, and when I have presented this at places that I've been, I went to a Christian school once and taught this, and wow, that went over like a lead balloon. And so I'm saying to you tonight, I'm going to sound un-American tonight. I'm going to sound very un-American tonight, because I'm going to question our sacred halls of learning. I'm going to question our educational institutions, colleges and universities, and see if maybe it would be wiser if we just put that off for a little bit. Sometimes in human behavior we see patterns. Back in 2005, I remember writing this because just of a pattern that I just saw in my own life and my own ministry personally, and that was the story that I would hear over and over and over and over again of somebody who went to college, graduated, got their diploma, found themselves in deep debt with student loans, $40,000, $60,000, $100,000 loans, and not the slightest interest in the field that they studied. And then, you know, as I saw this pattern, I didn't know if it was just me, but all of a sudden I heard a statistic, a research statistic, that 80% of the 18-year-olds in America who go into colleges or universities and then graduate with a bachelor's degree 4 years later, 80% of them never work one single day of the rest of their life in the area that they studied. And I thought, man, that system sounds like it's broke. And basically, 18-year-olds really do not know what they want to do. My experience was a little bit different, but same result. I went into the Army and they paid me to learn what I didn't want to do. I was going to try to go into the Marine Corps, but I couldn't get in the Marine Corps. I failed their physical because of some poison ivy. And in the meantime, my grandfather insisted that I check out the other branches of the service and that I get something guaranteed in writing that I wanted to study. And so I went to the Army, and they were able to guarantee me in writing that I would be trained in what MOS is called 32 Golf 20, which was fixed cryptographic equipment repair. In other words, I really wanted to get into electronics. And so as an 18-year-old, I went into the Army, and after boot camp, I was trained for 8 weeks in basic electronics and then 40 weeks in advanced electronics, 48 straight weeks all day long, every day of the week, which was the equivalent of 2 years of college in electronics. Only to discover 2 years later I couldn't stand one single moment of it and couldn't wait for the day I got out of the Army and even was thrilled to go back to farming for the next 5 years of my life till God called me into the ministry. I just thought when I was 18 I wanted to learn electronics. And by the time I was 21 I had it up to here with that. And I wasn't the least bit interested in spending the rest of my life doing that. Now, fortunately, they paid me to learn what I didn't want to do. But in college, you pay them. You pay them a lot of money. Most recently, I heard the story of a college graduate, $100,000 in student loan debts, and that was with an amazing scholarship that he received for 4 straight years of college at a very well-known university, and he's still $100,000 in debt at, I think, 22 years of age. And I just began to hear that story like what we used to say, a broken record. And so I began to do a little research about it, and this flyer here is the product of that, and notice it says on the front, can college wait? And on the front, there's a picture we found of a college about ready to explode with people just herding themselves into it like cattle. And at the bottom, it says, for consideration by parents and high school juniors and seniors. And some of you are going to be getting there pretty soon. Some of you may have children that are going to get to that age, or grandchildren that are going to get to that age. And many of them make a mistake, and I'll try to build this up here, that really affects the rest of their lives by going to college too early. Now, if you'll turn to the inside, I want to go over some of this with you. It says at the top, the average high school graduate entering college this year should pay attention to the following statistics, and I just gave this one. 80% of 18-year-olds who enter college this year will never spend one day of their life working in the field of their study. Now, I've been surprised, too, how many times I have repeated that statistic to a college graduate, and they'll all of a sudden, lights will come on, their eyes will open, and say, yeah, that's right, that's true with me. I'll tell them that's a story. Now, that means one out of five do work in that field. And so there are exceptions out there who would probably protest greatly, thinking that their experience is like everybody else, but their experience is anecdotal. And there are some, and I've seen some, and I'm glad for them. We have Kelly in our church, Kelly Torito, as you know her. She's the veterinarian in town. I remember her. She was set when she was like 14. She knew what she wanted to do in her life. She wanted to be a veterinarian. That's the exception. That's the exception. And we were glad when she went off to school and got her education. She worked hard at it. Man, did she work hard at it. And now she's doing very well in her field. And there are 20%. That means one out of every five 18-year-old who does go into college does make a go of it, and appears to, at that age, know what their life was about or what they're really interested in. But the other 80% do not. Here's another statistic that concerns me, and I've heard this from many sources, most recently as I was listening to Robert Lewis, the pastor out in Little Rock, Arkansas, at Faith Bible Church there. He's of men's fraternity fame, a ministry he started. 75% of our young people of faith will have their spiritual foundation torn down to the point of abandoning their beliefs. Now that's Bible-believing Christians who go from the church into the secular university or college. 75% of them, 3 out of every 4 18-year-olds that leave our church, Faith Bible Baptist Church here in Eden, and go into a secular college or a university, will have their spiritual foundation, their faith, torn down to the point of abandoning their beliefs. And please don't say anything, but I'm sure there's all kinds of teenagers and young adults going through your mind right now who used to be among us. We used to attend here all the time. Used to come Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. Used to be involved here. Now you never see their face. Ever. Ever. Because their faith has been torn down. Their spiritual foundation, which the college and university just simply exposed that they didn't have one. They didn't have a spiritual foundation. Maybe their parents did, maybe their pastor did, but they didn't. They didn't think it important in their teen years to study the Bible, to pray, to have their own walk with God, to learn answers, the heart of the righteous, study the answer, to learn answers to objections to Christianity and creation and so on and so forth. They didn't have their own foundation. And so they lost their faith, to the point of abandoning their beliefs, and they're out in the world. So that's why I asked the question, can college wait? Maybe a year of Bible college or 2 years or Bible Institute would be more important. to get a personal foundation before going off to a university or college. Here's another statistic I've heard. 8 out of 10 young men entering college to pursue the ministry will drop out and become disenchanted with their calling. Why? Because I think they're too young at 18 to go to Bible college. All right, Pastor Seth, when he started Bible college, I forgot what you told me. How many were in your freshman class? And you're the only one that finished, right? Or there's one other. You were the only one that finished Bible college out of 32 that started. At Hiles Anderson College, it's 9 out of 10 drop out by their senior year. The average Bible college, 8 out of our 10 young men, and the sad thing is they become disenchanted with their calling and never, most of them never pick it up and pursue it again. Why? Because they were too young. They were too young. Most men under 30 are too young to go into the ministry. You would not believe the pressures of the ministry. You would not believe the knowledge you have to have. The walk with God you've got to have if you're going to make it. And we have this system of almost like hitting on Christian camps and trying to get them to sign up and get them into Bible college when they're 18 to pursue the ministry. And they're not ready. I mean, if they went to get a couple years of Bible knowledge, like I said, that's a different thing. Or to learn how to pray or something. I might be for that. But there's very few that make it. And the sad thing is, probably God really called them, but they got jammed into a system where they were bound to fail, where they had to go to school all day long, work all evening long just to pay their bills, and get burnt out. I'm against that system. Are there exceptions that come out of those colleges and do very, very well? Yes, there are exceptions. But how many? Dr. Barney Lee up here at the Center Road Baptist Church one time documented 30 young men who left Bible college, came to Buffalo, New York, said they were called to start churches in Buffalo, New York, lasted one more, at the most 2 years, and all of them dropped out. And he was left. I really think college for 18-year-olds is overrated. When you get to the secular universities and the colleges, liberal professors outnumber conservative professors in secular colleges and universities by a margin of 7-1. At schools like Berkeley and Stanford, liberals are 9-1 in the majority of influence, and that doesn't mean the one conservative is even saved. Don't confuse conservative with Christian. So at your, and especially in this area like Buff State and UB and so on and so forth, you can expect an extremely strong liberal influence pushed on you. Especially being the home of the secular humanists and the Center for Inquiry and Prometheus Books, which publishes the Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2. I mean, we are a hotbed for liberalism here in Western New York. After college is over, many students spend up to 10 years paying off student loans and other debts. The financial pressure on them in their 20s is tremendous. And here's where that decision oftentimes affects the rest of their life, is because right about in that time period of their life, they want to get married. So here's a guy proposing to a young lady, and he says, would you marry me? I want you to know I got $100,000 in student loans I've got to pay. Or $50,000 or $40,000. Man, alive. Do you know what the greatest pressure young married couples face today in marriages? You know what it is? What is it? Financial pressure. Financial pressure. Almost any time you come to a marriage that's having problems, it's either communications or the financial pressures on the couple. Those that know more than I do who studied divorce usually find that at the root of that divorce is financial pressure. Because here's somebody with $20,000, $40,000, $60,000, $100,000 worth of student loans. What, are they going to buy a house? They're going to buy a car? They're going to buy a new furniture? What are they going to do? And it is incredible the number of 20-year-olds in America who are filing for bankruptcy. Incredible. And all of this adds up to a great waste of time and money for the average 18-year-old in our country. And yet they're herded like cattle. The Bible says we should not be conformed to this world. Romans 12:2. But be transformed. In other words, what all the kids your age are doing does not necessarily mean you have to do it. On the other hand, I learned when I wrote this that, and this is 2005, so I don't know if these statistics are all exactly the same. I'm sure they're variable, but probably not much. I don't know if things have gotten much better in the last 6 years. But on the other hand, those who wait until they are 21 to enter college have a far better grasp on what they want to do with their life and clearer direction. Their thinking and analytical skills are better developed, and their convictions are stronger and less likely to be overturned. Just 3 or 4 years of waiting. So here's a suggestion. Instead of being like the average 18-year-old herded like cattle into the halls of higher learning, why not take a better path, which is far less traveled, and which also you will be extremely criticized for? And that is practicing the old biblical adage of waiting. Imagine that. Waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Can you imagine somebody waiting on the Lord rather than following the crowd? Well, we'll end with a great verse on what will happen for the person who waits. Why not enter the workforce for a few years, even at an entrance-level job? Learn to work hard. Learn to save money. Learn to budget. Learn financial and business skills. Learn a trade or as many trades as possible. This experience will benefit you for a lifetime. Now, don't hesitate to go to a job and be a gopher. Some of you know what that is. And just observe those who know what they're doing as they practice their trade and learn from them. Boy, that stuff will last you a lifetime. Mechanics for guys and girls too, I guess. I don't know. Construction, plumbing, electrical, you name it. Any of that stuff can help you. Even if all you got to do is clean up job sites while they do all the work, you can watch them and you can learn. Hang some drywall. Learn how to install windows and doors and do some roofing and learn some landscaping and yard work and how to cut down trees. Anything like that will help you in the long run. Here's a question. What's the hurry? If you are 18 years old, you will probably live another 60 years. That's a long time. Why not take a few years and get a good foundation to build your life upon? Focus on things like spirituality, fiscal responsibility, learning to save money or handle money or at least let your money work for you rather than against you, and becoming emotionally stronger. Boy, these 18-year-olds that go off to college campuses all by themselves for the first time, it's a cesspool of sin. It really is. They're not emotionally strong enough at that age yet to be away from their parents' guidance or their pastor's guidance, and to be thrown into dormitories with a whole bunch of people their age, most of which are hormonal. My, oh my. You talk about a recipe for disaster. It's a college campus. See if you can stay at home, and parents, try to develop a spirit at home that's happy, that's joyful, that's conducive to them being able to stay there and for a few years and work and save their money. Don't have a home where they feel like they got to escape when they're 18 just to keep their sanity. Today in 2011, the minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. That's about $15,000 a year plus if you work full time after you graduate at minimum wage. And let's take $3,000 off for taxes and all that stuff. The rest that's left, if half of the take-home pay were put into savings or investments, an individual could save $6,000 per year. The other $6,000, if required, could go for room and board and maintaining a vehicle. By the time that person was 21, he or she could have a clear direction in life and about $24,000 saved up to go to college or to put a down payment on a house. And that is if that person never received a raise or found a better paying job. Then the amount could be much higher. And so that would give you a better foundation than debt, than being a 21-year-old or 22-year-old staring at a huge chunk of debt wondering, what am I going to do? Can't even find a job. Many of them in the field, they've studied, and a lot of them don't even want to. They've lost interest in it. It would help us if us adults and grandparents quit looking at our kids and asking this question, what do you want to do when you grow up? Sure would be nice if we just struck that question out of our vocabulary and quit putting that pressure on our kids. They don't know it. They don't know the answer to that question. Very few do. Let's face it, about 80% of 18-year-olds are clueless on what their life's calling is. 18-year-olds. Even loving parents, ministers, teachers, guidance counselors, and recruiters don't know exactly what you should do with your life. They can help aim you, but only God knows your special calling. The average man in America never finds out his calling in life until he's in his 30s, after he has worked 7 different jobs. That's the average man. I don't have that in the flyer, but after he's gone through 7 different jobs, entrance-level jobs, and then advanced and so on and so forth, he usually doesn't figure out, man, this is my niche in life. This is what I like doing, until he's in his 30s. Most of your ministers in the Bible, whether Old Testament or New Testament, didn't start till their 30s. Colleges and universities mean well and have much to offer, but mostly have become big businesses. Now, it's very important that you understand this next statement. They need money to stay open. And they need students to provide that money. They need you. And so there is a push that is so deeply ingrained into the psyche of the average American that when you get out of high school, you got to go to college. You got to go, or you're going to fall behind. Fall behind what? Life is not a rat race. It is a marathon. It's a long-distance run. In the long run, those who get ahead are those who carefully and wisely choose each step they take. I want to define here in a minute what I mean by get ahead. Sometimes a slower, deliberate pace will put you way ahead of the pack at the end of the race. Now, most people right here think you're talking about money. No, the average college graduate earns more money in their life than the one that does not go to college. But there needs to come some time in every Christian's heart where they realize life is not about money. I know that's un-American, what I'm saying there. But it's not about money. There are things money can't buy. Money is the cheapest of all God's blessings. And you'd be better off in your youth, in your young adult life, getting a good, strong spiritual foundation. Never really having two nickels to rub together, but the blessing of God all over your life, all over your relationships, and the peace of God and the joy of God, than having to work yourself out of mountains of debt, and then finally, when you're in your 40s and 50s, really hit your stride and start making some money, and then retiring with a lot of money. Yeah, they make more money. The average college, or at least up to this point in history. I'm not a prophet, but I just have a feeling things are going to start dramatically changing in this country financially. Unless we get some new leadership and some new direction, things are going to dramatically change in the United States of America. And that old, what they called American dream, might not ever again be what it once was. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. No college or university can give you wisdom. That comes from fearing the Lord. Notice this amazing promise in closing here. It says, the Apostle James said in the Bible, but let patience have her perfect work. Now this is amazing what I'm about ready to say from the Bible. That he may be perfect and entire, I'm going to say it, it's in the Bible, wanting nothing. You know what that phrase, wanting nothing, means? Satisfaction. The young man who waits for the right wife, the young lady who waits for the right husband, the man or woman who waits for God's calling, waits for God's leadership, waits for God's direction, instead of joining the rat race. Let patience have that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And amazing, the next verse says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I've asked many people in my past, as a pastor, when it looks like they were making a mistake and joining the rat race, I've asked them this question, have you asked counsel of God about this? Never once has one said yes. Never once. And yet, wisdom is so easy to get. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. He just throws it out there, wisdom. I think this whole flyer here is just an indictment in our country's departure from the living God. On the back, and then we'll pray, these words ought to be memorized by us all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. You know, moms and dads and grandparents, we need to start saying to our kids, look, you don't have to go off to college right away. We need to create a home atmosphere where they love, where they can stay. And we need to tell them this. Tell your grandkids that. Tell your children that. And say, look, it's expensive. In Proverbs 19:27 says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the way. Quit listening to that. Secular humanism. Jeremiah 10:2, learn not the way of the heathen. Don't learn the way of the heathen. Deuteronomy 18:9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of these nations. Some things we shouldn't learn. We should stay out of debt, Romans 13:8. You know, education is a product. You should know your product before buying into it. Spending money on it. I mean, if you're out there researching a car, Brother John, and the thing's a lemon, what? You don't buy it. You don't buy it. And if you look at something that's producing an 80% failure rate, oh, they're giving them a paper with a degree, but it has an 80% failure rate in guiding an 18-year-old to what they want to do in life, that system's broke. That system's broke. I know that sounds un-American, but I don't worship education. I just don't. I worship God. I believe He's our counselor. I believe He's our educator. He's the one we should follow. Let's pray. Father, we pray now for your help, Lord, in deciding whether college can wait. Lord, I pray rather that young people would work, maybe an entrance-level job, stay close to home, stay close to mom and dad, stay close to church, stay close to the pastor, stay close to the elders of the church and the ladies of the church while they're learning fiscal responsibility, getting a spiritual foundation strengthened, beginning to journey out on their own faith. Lord, help us. We see such a failure rate in colleges and universities. They get a degree. The college thinks they've succeeded in giving the young person a degree, but they never use it, except in 1 in 5 cases. Lord, help us. And then so many of our young people that had potential for God have had their faith destroyed, their foundation ruined by liberals who just pounded away at their faith. And they no longer walk with us. And all their potential for God is shot. Lord, it's just not right. And Father, as I've called on it tonight, I pray that might help those here as well as those that may ever listen to this message or read this flyer to consider maybe walking a different path. Bless this invitation time now, the rest of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I have Pastor Seth come?